Good morning, everybody. This is Jeff Brown in Sign of Land for a new radio program. Today's subject, the title is The Chinese Haven't Invented Anything for the Last 600 Years, Right? But in order to tell this story, I need to go back to the 1950s and 1960s when I was a child. And I can still remember comedians like Jack Benny, Milton Berle, Jackie Gleason, Johnny Carson, poking fun at post-World War II Japan. Since U.S. stores were full of their cheap junk and low-value merchandise, I remember seeing Made in Japan printed on all this stuff, and how everybody would joke that that was all the Japanese knew how to make, and how they couldn't hold a candle to Made in the USA. Well, flash forward 30 years, and you know the rest of the story. Japan ended up a world-class industrial titan. Now flash forward another 30 years to China, and the same sequence of events is happening here. I bring this up because when we came back in 2010, I constantly hear that the Chinese will never develop anything of their own, that all they can do is just assemble other people's technology and copycat the rest, that they will never be on the cutting edge of research and development like Silicon Valley. Back when we were living here in the 1990s, the common refrain among foreigners and the Western mainstream media was that the Chinese were so helpless that they couldn't use a wrench or pour concrete properly unless a Westerner was there to show them how to do it. It really bordered on racism, and in fact, I still hear this today from a number of foreigners. This is, sadly, Western empires' conceit, self-delusion, and ignorance while trying to maintain its favored myths and legends. This arrogance also has tried and continues to try to whitewash China's history. Last week I read an article from a paid website, I couldn't believe it, and this supposed expert said that China has not invented anything for the last 600 years. Really? During the last 600 years, China took world trade and commerce to astonishing levels with their intricate system of silk roads across Eurasia, which explains why it was the world's largest economy until 1872, and why it is number one again today in purchasing power parities, and will soon be number one, period, regardless, using exchange rates overtaking the United States. The Chinese invented woodblock and movable book printing. It was not Johannes Gutenberg, as everybody tells you in the West. They created the first set of encyclopedias, the bristle toothbrush, ship rudders, ship bulkhead partitions, dental amalgam to fill teeth for cavities. Unfortunately, they invented guns, the famous blue porcelain china that we all love. And during the last 600 years, China was sailing the high seas all the way to Arabian Africa, three generations before Columbus, in hundreds of Titanic-sized ships that could hold up to 1,000 people, dwarfing the Santa Maria, which could only transport 40 people in its 18-meter hull. The Santa Maria would have made a good lifeboat for China's ocean fleet. Then the Chinese invented the machine gun, mass print production of books and documents. They developed a legalism, establishing a comprehensive canon of state-administered laws, industrial silk production, chain-link suspension bridges, the world's best land surveying techniques. They discovered magnetism, and on and on. Furthermore, for the last 4,000 years, the Chinese have been feeding and caring for one-fourth, and more recently, one-fifth of the world's people, by continual technological advancements in land management, crop production, plant breeding and animal breeding, hybridization, aquaculture, water management, irrigation systems, harvesting and storage technology, as well as comprehensive traditional Chinese medicine with its amazing acupuncture, massage, and natural medicines. This is the fundamental myth in the West that they have innovated everything. Yet the fact is all societies have been borrowing and improving technology since the first wheel or the ability to control fire. Everybody has been standing on somebody else's shoulders. This includes Faraday, Darwin, Curie, Lavoisier, Newton, and everybody else. Einstein didn't wake up one day and go, "Wow, the theory of general relativity, I bagged that this morning." No, he studied hundreds of science journals for 10 years to come up with his innovation. Throughout history, true eureka moments have been and still are few and far between, and most of these are just blind luck, being in the right place at the right time. And then there's the time-honored tradition of just stealing other people's technology. Thomas Edison stole a number of his patents from Nikola Tesla, and Guglielmo Marconi, who stole Tesla's developments of the wireless radio. Tesla was not greedy and vainglorious. He was just a genius scientist. But greed and glory are powerful motivators to commit theft. There's that great story about Steve Jobs, who didn't talk to Bill Gates for years. And a few years before he died, they finally got together to have a meeting. And if you know about Steve Jobs, the first thing he did is he started tearing into Bill Gates about what a thief he was and how he had stolen all of Apple's innovations in technology, you know, the mouse, the icons, the windows, the pull-down menus and all that. And Gates just shut him up. Apparently the meeting didn't last very long because Gates reminded him that he and Jobs, when they founded Microsoft, stole all of those great ideas from Xerox, who actually developed all those innovations, but foolishly opted for copiers to go with copiers instead of computers. So for China, all the aforementioned inventions are just the tip of the iceberg. China is different than the West, since the local market is so huge. Many innovations and inventions are not seen outside of China, and many more are sometimes not even seen outside the region. Here is how the Chinese innovate, and I'll give you an example of each one further on. Number one, they innovate on-site. Number two, they innovate to reduce costs. Number three, they do tailored innovation. And number four, rapid product innovation. You know, the Italians are famous for their custom, you know, small and medium scale manufacturing technology and systems, but they have to sell around the world because there are not very many Italians or not enough Italians to buy what they build. Not so for the Chinese, because of their huge economies of scale. Here's a good example. Haier, the appliance company, they kept getting complaints in Sichuan, which has 100 million people. They kept getting complaints from their technicians about their washing machines clogging up with dirt and mud. Well, come to find out, the Sichuanese were washing their sweet potatoes and soybeans in the washing machines. So instead of berating their customers, you know, not to use their washing machines to clean their sweet potatoes and soybeans, what did Haier do? Well, they innovated and they adapted their technology so that the 100 million Sichuanese could wash their sweet potatoes and soybeans in their washing machines along with their clothes. And this is just one small example. Haier has made specific market-driven innovations to 96 product categories and including 15,100 specifications, including internationally. And all of these in-house technological innovations are part of the reason that Haier now dominates the world's appliance business. Throughout human history, early on with guilds, and then during the Industrial Revolution, and still today, manufacturing draws workers. Next comes construction, then infrastructure to receive the inputs, and move out the product that's being manufactured. Then come the secondary and tertiary businesses and industries to satisfy all those inputs and outputs. And then come the engineers and the scientists to conduct the research and development. And right on cue, finance moves in to help pay for all these investments. At first, it was a trickle from the United States to China, and now it is a tidal wave from the West to here. More and more of those supposed great white-collar research and development and finance jobs Westerners were supposed to keep, while those lowly Chinese did all the grunt work. Well, guess what? All those good, high-paying jobs are moving over here now. The truth of the matter is China and many other non-Western peoples have invented millions of innovations over the millennia. They just get censored out of Western textbooks, history books, and the mainstream media since they conflict with the West's favorite myth about how they have innate intellectual, cultural, and technological superiority. The Chinese are just as innovative as the West, but it all goes back to the heavenly mandate. Take care of your business at home and don't worry about the rest of the world. Take care of your people here at home and quit worrying about, you know, trying to take over the rest of the world. So many, many of China's innovations, what the West has never heard about. Today, undoubtedly, the rest of the world would like to get its hands on China's 21st century innovations in solar power, wind power, hydropower, nuclear power, coal scrubbers on electric generation plants, high-speed rail, mobile phone technology, ship and port building technology, among many, many others. And many of these I discuss in my first book, 44 Days, as I traveled around Western China. Here is a short list of Chinese innovations and inventions just since 1949. The Chinese developed the barefoot doctor system back in the 1950s. This proved to be so immensely popular that it was adopted all over the developing world, Latin America, Africa, Asia, and has literally the barefoot doctor model, where the doctors go out to the sick and the patients, instead of the patients having to come into the doctors, has saved literally hundreds of millions of lives around the world over the last 60 years. In 1965, the Chinese synthesized crystalline bovine insulin, which has lowered the cost of diabetes for hundreds of millions since then around the world. The Chinese developed the first hybrid rice varieties in the 1970s, feeding billions around the world. In 1972, they invented artemisinin, which is an anti-malarial treatment, saving many millions of lives around the world. In 1980, they developed the single-mode optic fiber. Here's an example of tailored innovation and then innovation to reduce costs. When China International Marine Containers imported a production line from Germany in the early 1990s, it had a capacity of about 10,000 containers a year. Over the next 5 years, CIMC technicians fundamentally re-engineered the manufacturing process four times, applying technology borrowed from the auto industry. By 1996, production had risen 20-fold, and CIMC was and is now a global leader by volume, manufacturing almost one in every five new containers worldwide. The following year, it was able to set up its own research and development center, where it managed to find a way to replace expensive aluminum used in refrigerated containers with much cheaper treated steel. It licensed steel treatment technology from German manufacturers and improved the performance of this to the point where treated steel could match the performance of aluminum. As a result, it increased its equipment capacity and the capability to become more cost efficient. Guess who invented the electronic cigarette, the e-cigarette? That was invented by the Chinese in 2003. In 2003, they invented a hair comb that doubles as a musical instrument. There's a great unicycle that you actually ride inside the wheel that was developed for urban use in 2004. In 2006, they invented the maglev wind power generator. In 2007, China shot down one of their aging weather satellites in orbit, proving their prowess at space weaponry. And here is an example of rapid market innovation. This is where the Chinese are just absolutely lethal. In this case, it's mobile phones. Since the Chinese use, they're actually very sophisticated at using mobile phones. They use them to watch TV, to buy many of their needs. In fact, China's e-commerce is more than all of Europe and the United States combined. So for the 2008 Olympics, a Chinese mobile phone company, Tianyu, seeing a desire by the market for phones that represented the 2008 Olympics, in a matter of a few months, they produced over 100 models, different models in 2007, based on the bird's nest, you know, the stadium and the water cube for ice sports, you know, and made an absolute fortune. In 2008, they invented the non-invasive prenatal diagnostic test for Down syndrome, and then in 2009, working with the Russians, they developed an anti-ship ballistic missile called the Sunburn, which is now Iran has it and everybody else, and which is freaking out the U.S. Navy because both sides know that China and Russia can wipe out America's Navy in a matter of days with this Sunburn missile. A 2010 U.S. government report stated that U.S. export controls of advanced five-axis machine tools restricting exports to China were ineffectual due to the technical capabilities of the Chinese. In other words, we were not exporting it, but the Chinese were building it anyway. I'm not a physicist, but they calculated the measurement of the neutrino mixing angle theta 13 in 2012 for those of you that are interested in the Large Hadron Collider. They developed stem cell educator therapy in 2012. In 2012, they also have invented spherical pods called Noah's Ark. These are 17 cubic meter lifeboats that look like gigantic orbs. In the event of earthquakes, you actually get inside these and to protect yourself from earthquakes. In 2012, the Chinese also turned urine samples into brain cells, of all things. They invented the carbon aerogel in 2013. And more recently, the Chinese now are becoming the world leaders in 3D printing. Houses, cars, I mean, you name it. And there was that story late last year in 2014 about how this Italian guy had built a 3D house, you know, using waste materials. Well, sorry, I read about the Chinese doing it here back early in 2014. Months and months before. I just recently saw an article about the Chinese just are now building 3D, printing 3D cars using waste materials. Of course, last year, 2014, they landed the Jade Rabbit lunar module rover, cruised around on the surface of the moon. They are completing the 500-meter aperture spherical telescope to be finished next year. Will be the world's largest radio telescope. They're going to start building their own space station, which I've talked about in other radio shows, in 2018, probably with the Russians. They have a plethora of social media applications and programs, some of which are better than Western versions. China's WeChat, if they ever roll that out internationally, they will absolutely bury WhatsApp. I mean, it is so much better. I use both, and there's no comparison. Supercomputers. The Chinese have their Tianhe supercomputer line, it's an ongoing race with the U.S. One year it's the United States, the next year it's China. They go back and forth. In 2001, China had no supercomputers. Now China has 74 of the top 500 supercomputers in the world. And because eating fish here is a big deal, cheap protein by eating carp fish, because they live off of, they eat grass instead of other animals. Artificial carp breeding technologies are ongoing. The Chinese are doing financing structures such as the variable interest entities and the local government financing vehicles. So they're doing innovations in financing. And another race, like the United States and the supercomputers, the South Korean shipbuilders and the Chinese, they leapfrog each other every couple of years. You know, as one develops better technologies than the other, they become the top shipbuilder in the world. Huawei is now outselling Samsung and Apple mobile phones in China. When Huawei starts to roll out their phones around the world, history suggests that it's going to take a huge chunk of the market share away from Samsung and Apple. And then there's Baidu versus Google. Baidu only serves China, but China has 1 billion mobile phone users and about 500 million internet users. And it is one of the most, like I said, tech-savvy nations on Earth. Baidu hasn't even bothered to go internationally. If you go onto Baidu maps, they only have maps for China. They don't even mess with the rest of the world because they have such huge economies of scale here. But when they do go international, I guarantee you that Google, Yahoo, and Bing are going to have their hands full. Engineering innovations. Recently, you know, China is heading the world's biggest engineering project in human history, building the 260-kilometer-long Nicaragua Grand Canal. It's 3 times longer than the Panama Canal, costing $50 billion. China is also partnering with Russia to build infrastructure, to build the biggest infrastructure project in human history, the $70 billion Eastern Siberian gas pipeline system, for Russia to sell China natural gas. China is at the cutting edge of large-scale infrastructure projects, and this involves a huge amount of innovation, technology, and inventions. And as you read, unfortunately, in the Western mainstream media, China's CIA, which is the MSS, the Ministry of State Security, is just as dastardly, deceitful, and dangerous as the West's spy empire. China's intelligence and cyber technology is just as good as America's. Of course, all cultures are great innovators and inventors. It's human, not the special reserve for Western superiority. So the next time someone spouts off about how technologically backward and uncreative the Chinese are, just give them this hyperlink for today's radio program. That's all for today. Thank you, and talk to you later.